weight is not the biggest, you know, always at the forefront of your health. But because of things like this, people telling you that's what you should be striving for, that's why you get so many people that sit there and they measure calorie in, calorie out, and they develop eating disorders and things like that because all they care about are the numbers.
Right.
They just want to see the numbers be a certain happy zone for them.
I mean, I think that's certainly true. It's kind of the psychology behind, you know, weight. And trust me, you're talking to a kid that was in the obese category. And it wasn't because I was dense.
I was too.
It wasn't because I was dense. It was because I was fat.
I went through an overweight period in my childhood.
And that's because I was eating crappy and just, you know, things like that. And
not being active. Yeah.
And then, well, that's not true because I always played sports. So it wasn't activity. It was just poor diet. I was always active. That was never an issue.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch. Welcome back to this week's episode of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. For those who are joining us and our regulars, thank you for coming back every week. And for those who are new, welcome. Mm-hmm. We've got a fun topic that I've seen debated amongst social media and in the news pretty much most of this week. So,
and we're going to debate its now we're going to debate it on the podcast
between the two of us.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So that should be a heated debate.
Yes.
All right. Before we get into that, I want to announce our winner of the Cope Notes giveaway, who will be receiving a free month of the The mental wellness text messaging service, Cope Notes, is Chris Hacker. Congratulations, woo-hoo! Chris. I know you're going to enjoy this service because I know I enjoyed it, and I only did it for a week. So you guys, check out copenotes.com. They're already blowing up. I saw many stories recently about news articles and TV spots that Johnny Crowder has been doing. So you guys, check it out. It's definitely going to help you out if you're in need of some positive kind of daily affirmations.
Yeah, and Chris, if you're listening right now, then please let us know how you're enjoying your free month in the reviews.
Absolutely.
And that would be greatly appreciated.
Normally we roll right into our training recap, but first we want to preempt that with some exciting news about, I guess, kind of our next giveaway or kind of
well, yeah, it's for our monthly challenge.
Yeah, the 30-day the ATF podcast challenge.
Yes, yeah, so quick recap.
Right.
It is August.
Mm-hmm. And this month, the fitness challenge is
50 squats a day.
Uh-huh. And the diet challenge is no eating 2 hours before bedtime.
Yes.
How you been doing with that this week?
The diet portion, the dietary side, very well.
Right.
I have restrained from post 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. snacks because, yes, 8 p.m. is our 2 hours before bedtime.
Right.
The squats, I actually may have pushed myself a little bit too hard with a couple of my workouts this week, and I missed some days purely based off of the fact my butt was too sore.
Wow.
Yeah.
TMI.
That's now in a podcast. That's good.
You know what I'm going to do?
I just said that aloud.
I forgot to do mine today.
Oh, he's doing his squats right now.
Ooh.
No, but seriously.
This is audio. Go ahead. Keep going. Keep talking.
I was, like, really, really sore. I did a full, like, leg circuit training day. And after that, oh, my gosh. There was a couple days there, yeah, where I just, the ability to do a squat was very minimal.
25.
It's really distracting having someone bob up and down behind you as you're trying to record a podcast.
Carry the podcast. I'm almost there. 10 seconds. 10 more.
Oh my gosh. See, this is a demonstration on how quickly you can knock out 50 squats. But with good form. I don't know. I'm not checking his form because he's behind me.
You know where you can check my form at? The ET Tampa Instagram.
You have posted some mm-hmm. interesting squat
yes.
options and
squat
evidence.
Options and some pointers for your squat.
Yes.
A little kind of visual infographic for what things you should remember when you're doing your squats. So check that out on Instagram at ETTAMPA.
Yeah. I have noticed, though, that whereas when I first started, my knees were cracking like crazy because if you're not aware of this, if you have knee problems, you know, any pains and joint kind of issues, strengthening the muscle around those areas are actually going to serve you very well because your joints and all of those connective tissues end up pulling a lot more work than they should when the muscles around those joints are not like as active and strong. You make those stronger, you're going to see those joints have to do a lot less work. And it's going to run more smoothly in a lot of instances. I noticed that about my knees. Like, they were just crack, 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 crack every time I did a squat the first time. But this week I noticed they're gotten a lot better. And only when I went super, super far down, super deep, that was the trouble when I heard the cracking come back because I was pushing it.
Yeah, so in addition to squats, this week I got into... I did some weight training circuits recently, some chest press, curls, tricep pull downs, and I did some kettlebell offset deadlifts. So that's basically you have weight all on one side and you're doing a deadlift, but not leaning over, like kind of getting pulled from one side. So you're just working both sides, but only one side has the weight. So that's great for unilateral training, kind of helping... kind of shorten those muscle imbalances that a lot of people have, most of us have. So that's a great one. Check out offset deadlifts. Or suitcase deadlifts. That's another way they're described.
Yeah, that one I'm used to hearing that
so,
one.
So yeah, I did that this week and didn't get anywhere. I don't think I did any running this week. Did the skier, but still trying to get in. Oh, I did some cardio out in our yard. I cut our grass. So that was my cardio for the week.
That was your cardio.
Much needed, though. Much needed. So, what we let off this portion of the podcast was talking about the ATF Podcast Challenge and a big announcement about said podcast challenge, right?
Yeah.
We're going to introduce the recovery pack that we're going to give one lucky listener or participant, I should say, in the challenge at the end of this month. And I'm going to throw it to you to let them know what they're going to get.
Yes, so at the end of the month, so you can do it, you know, the last couple days of the month, we'll keep it open through, I think, the first week of September 6th.
Sure.
Friday.
Sounds good.
Friday the 6th, September 6th. So that way you don't have to jump on it right away for Labor Day weekend. We know people are going to be partying that weekend. But post in our reviews or post to our social media with the hashtag the ATF Podcast Challenge.
ATF Podcast Challenge.
ATF Podcast Challenge. And if you use that hashtag and let us know how you did on the challenge, that's all you have to do. You just have to either post that to a review, post that to our Facebook page, or you can post it to either Nick or myself on our Instagrams. So if you do that, it enters you to win our recovery pack. So this is several items that we really love for recovery. And these are going to serve you well both to recover from your month of daily squats as well as to go into our next challenge. So we're doing these challenges every single month. They'll be different and hopefully they'll be a little bit progressive. So when you start with us now, you say, oh, I got this 50 daily squats. I'm fine with that. Oh, it's going to get harder. That was my watch jumping in. I'm sorry.
Excuse
it was dinging.
You.
It was dinging on us.
Excuse you, watch.
Time's done. Just kidding. So yes, that's kind of how we're going to play that. So what is in the giveaway for our recovery favorites?
Three items that we use personally to help us recover on a daily basis.
So freaking handy.
Number one, collagen.
Yes. Right?
Powdered collagen.
Our favorite brand.
Yes.
And we're very Great particular. Lakes. We've tried many.
Mm-hmm. Great Lakes collagen. Big fan of it. Shannon has talked about on the podcast how it helped essentially restore her flowing locks.
It brought back my hair.
Mm-hmm. You know, I had read some positive reviews about its benefits to joint health.
My mom's been using it for her joints, and she says it's fantastic.
And it's really there is, it does have some protein. It's not the best protein source, but, you know, it is somewhat of a good source of protein, but you find mainly it's the skin, the hair, and the joint health that we really love it for. So, and it goes in coffee easily, dissolves easily in coffee. So that's a great way of taking it that we love doing it. So
yeah, so I mean, it can supplement your, if you have like a protein powder that you do not want to give up, and you're just looking to kind of further ease the recovery, this is a great way to do that.
Mm-hmm. And number two, Epsom salts.
Oh, these are my fave.
Yes. So, guys, I don't know if you're not you haven't ever taken an Epsom salt bath, what's wrong with you, first of all?
Well, you're missing out.
Let's be honest. I should be a little bit kinder. Yes, you're definitely missing out because Epsom salts are great for helping muscle recovery. You ever have sore muscles, having them basically absorb the nutrients, not the nutrients, but the minerals in Epsom salts, magnesium sulfate specifically, can really help speed up the recovery process.
Yes, and I will also say it's phenomenal for bruising and like issues with you have like a hurt muscle, injuries to tissue specifically is what I've used it for. And oh my gosh, sprained ankle, bruised feet, whatever it is, I tend to injure my feet a lot apparently. It's amazing. I mean, it's practically a miracle.
Right.
Compared to when you've tried everything else, then all of a sudden you try this. Even if you don't have a bath in your house and you just need to soak your feet, this is the best thing to do. And we're going to give you an unscented version in case you are particular to scents. But yes, please try it. If you haven't, if you do and you love them, then you know that this is just a must have in your bathroom, basically.
Yes. Yeah. And let us know. We can always supplement, I guess, if they don't have a bathtub.
Well, I mean, you can use it as like a foot soak. That's so true, all you need is like some kind of a container to soak your feet. That's what I used to do.
That's true. A good call. And then the final piece of the recovery pack for the basically one lucky participant of the ATF podcast challenge will be mini bands, specifically Perform Better mini bands. These are mini resistance bands. They're used a lot for rehab work. A lot of physical therapists use it. I love using it for my clients because they're easy to transport and they can give you a great workout. They help build, basically increase range of motion, but also help you build strength and muscle control in those new ranges of motion. So I highly recommend them to everyone. So it's a little bit, I would say it's, you know, it's kind of half recovery, half exercise, but definitely these are kind of a light enough resistance where you can do them to kind of on your recovery days. So kind of the term active resistance or not
active rest.
Thank you. Yeah. Active recovery. Yes, exactly right. So not a ton of resistance, but enough to help you kind of recover and work your mobility on those days that you've had heavy lifting days.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that's the recovery pack that one lucky participant of the ATF podcast challenge will get. So get to squatting and make sure you're not eating 2 hours before bedtime.
Yes, that's it. That's all you have to do. And then all you have to do is hashtag one of those many places we gave you.
Absolutely.
Easy peasy. September 6th. That is your deadline. Squat away.
Boom. All right. So now the topic that we are going to be debating today, you brought it to me. So I'm going to let you introduce it.
So if you are not familiar and you didn't hear this from, I heard about it actually through someone I follow on social media. Then I heard about it from someone on the news. Then I heard it all over my social media feeds. Weight Watchers launched a new app. But hold it. It's not Oprah that's cheerleading people on and, you know, telling them, woohoo, go for it. No, this isn't for adults. It's for children. So clearly you can tell by my tone, this disgusts me on many levels. Even before I had a daughter, this disgusts me, but now more so. Mm-hmm. It's an app, and it's basically a simplified app for 8-year-olds to teens, I think, is the, like, age range.
Yes.
But, I mean, it's mm-hmm. single-digit age here to teenagers, mm-hmm. the most sensitive time of your life. And this is a
for sure.
diet app. Like, it's being sold as a diet app to lose weight. Not to make you healthy. I mean, I'm sure that they're marketing some aspect of health, but what it actually is and does, I'm not convinced at all that this has anything to do with health. This is just a terrible, money-making, horrible thing that I think Weight Watchers should be, like, boycotted for. And I rarely ever say that, but I just think this is disgusting. So I brought it to Nick, and I said, everybody that I've seen, including nutritionists, health professionals, the quote-unquote, like, online influencer or type people, you know, people who have large followings and who are in the health industry, and other, like, mothers in particular, probably are the most sensitive to it because they have kids. Mm-hmm. And the thought that you're going to have some company tell you, oh, don't worry, we're here to help you lose weight. It's like feeding an eating disorder mm-hmm. in my mind. It's mm-hmm. just setting you up for a terrible relationship with yourself and how you feel other people see you. This is not a successful way to teach strong, healthy living habits or share and impart information that's going to serve them in the long run. This is just awful.
Right.
Take it away.
I think this is maybe the next edition of our Good Idea, Bad Idea segment that we did a couple of episodes ago.
Oh, my gosh,
ago.
Yeah.
Trying to be devil's advocate here, I agree with a lot of what you said. I haven't used the app yet. I've just read about it. But the things I've read about it is, can definitely, I tend to side with you a little bit more. It's very, this does not surprise me. And it does not surprise me, and not in the aspect that Weight Watchers would do this or somebody would produce an app like this. But what do you do in business? You try to address a need. And, you know, obesity in children is a need in this country, essentially. Or try to kind of have a solution to that. Yeah. Now you're trying to make money off that. That's, you know, whatever. You could say that's an evil thing, but, you know, that's...
I'm all for making money on things that are actually needed. But this is going about it the wrong way.
I think so. Yeah, I think this, like, I think if their app wasn't with a couple of things that we've described, let's talk about some aspects of the app. They have basically, when you sign up for the app, they give you kind of a questionnaire about what are your goals with the app. And this is, talking to the user, so the 8 to 17-year-old that's using the app. And here are some of the basically choices they give them for their goals: eat healthier, lose weight, make parents happy, get stronger and fitter, have more energy, boost my confidence, feel better in my clothes. So, I mean, like you said, there's one is just you're supposed to rank them. Of course, that's why there's so many, but that I think is very heavy when you ask a child to do that.
All those imagine things. Imagine, like, a 9-year-old sitting there trying to, like, rank this. Are you kidding me?
And I even, like, adults, I think, could have some sort of anxiety trying to rank those. And then the thing, the option, especially the make parents happy option, that is very, you're trying to making anybody happy with your outward appearance, or, you know, associating your outward appearance with pleasing others. That's going down a negative road. That's like you talk about, you know, creating a poor body image. That's just asking, you know, you're essentially putting that in someone's mind. and especially an impressionable mind at that age. So I could definitely see where it could be very, you know, where the backlash is at. So that doesn't surprise me. But, I mean, I just wanted to look at some data because, you know me, guys, I'm all data-driven. So, and I don't think Shannon even debates that the need for to address childhood obesity.
No.
I know she doesn't. So
absolutely not.
Just some quick stats. And this is from 2015 to 2016 from CDC. This is the most recent years they have right now. Obesity among U.S. youth was 18.5%. The prevalence of obesity among adolescents 2 to 19 years old was over 20%. School-age children 6 to 11 years old, 18%, and was higher in preschool-age children 2 to 5, 13.9%. I guess that when they say higher, I'm assuming that means raised from the previous mm-hmm. year. And then they go into different demographics and gender and age or gender and ethnicity and whatnot. So, I mean, the fact that youth obesity is 18.5% in 2015 and 16, you know, that's almost 1 in 5 kids have obesity. And, you know, we can always...
And you see it. I mean,
yes.
Absolutely. No question.
Right.
But the thing is, it's not just weight.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of my big things.
Right.
Because I actually looked this app up. The app is not actually called Weight Watchers. It's called Curbo. It sounds kiddish. If fast food companies are given crap for marketing their food to kids, then this thing should, like, get slapped with so many fines.
I see that. I can agree with that.
Curbo. And they say, the first line on this flipping thing is, reach a healthy weight. We make it simple. What the fudge? Like, all you're telling them is that the weight is what matters. When, guess what? It's really not. Like, when you talk, even when you talk about BMI, which I also think is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, BMI has its faults
also. Kind of bullhonky. Mm-hmm. But even that takes under consideration more than just your weight. I happen to have always been ranked in a higher BMI because I've always had a higher weight. However, even when I was in my most fit, when I was at my lowest weight, I have never been a light person.
Mm-hmm.
I am extremely dense. I take after my father's family. My mom's side, super light. They're built differently. You run into me and I'm built like a little brick wall. Like, it's just how I'm built. I'm dense. I have really, like, much more of a muscular frame. Weight for me was a battle for years because I took it as what everyone else said I was supposed to be before I finally realized it's really not. It's not dictated by anyone else. There's a ton of different factors that make you healthy. Weight is not the biggest, you know, always at the forefront of your health. But because of things like this, people telling you that's what you should be striving for, that's why you get so many people that sit there and they measure calorie in, calorie out, and they develop eating disorders and things like that because all they care about are the numbers.
Right.
They just want to see the numbers be a certain happy zone for them.
I mean, I think that's certainly true. It's the psychology behind, you know, weight. And trust me, you're talking to a kid that was in the obese category, and it wasn't because I was dense.
I was too.
It wasn't because I was dense. It was because I was fat.
I went through an overweight period in my childhood.
And that's because I was eating crappy and just, you know, things like that. And
not
that's,
being active,
and,
yeah.
And, well, that's not true because I always played sports. So it wasn't activity. It was just poor diet. I was always active. That was never an issue. But that is becoming more of an issue. That's why I think obesity is going up because kids are becoming less active. Sports are becoming less important nowadays than they used to be. Social media and then gaming overall and kind of this, essentially, the iPhones and the iPads are becoming more prevalent. So inactivity is definitely attributing to it now. That's what, I mean, one issue why I think trying to reach kids on their smartphones or smart devices, iPads, is kind of is probably the next step. I just think about what they're trying to do with this app specifically is not the right methods. You know, especially we talk about their methods about, I mean, green, red, and yellow lights, essentially. They ask children to put in, enter their foods, and then they give them a, like, green, yellow, or red light on how much of that food they should eat or if they should even eat that food at all. I mean, I guess they're trying to break it down to a simple, or simplify it, for lack of better terms, but as you mentioned, there's real no education going on with this app. It's just telling you eat it or don't eat it, or eat less of it or eat more of it.
It's the traffic signal method, which I think works in very basic terms. All it does is teach you when to go, when to stop, and when to proceed with caution. That's it. It doesn't actually break down why. It doesn't tell you, like, it doesn't build a customized solution really for you and your unique composition and your lifestyle. I mean, it does take in certain factors under consideration. This, I will say, like, it's not based off of crap. Like, the system was actually developed and it's derived from Stanford University's weight control program. But I think that to market it and make this something that kids should have in their hands, that's where you're setting themselves up. That's where you're setting them up. Like this, if anything, giving it to a parent to educate the parent about then what to teach their kids and say like, okay, well, here's why you should eat these colors and these types of foods and, you know, actually give them some information with these, like, go, stop, and proceed with caution kind of direction, that would benefit so much more, and it would, that would set you up for success. Like, all this is going to do, if anything, is just curb your portions, probably, for a short period of time while you're using this. But as we've all experienced, you have to, like, continuously do that. You have to check in, because our society's not built for portion control.
Right. And, I mean, just my experience with encouraging clients or even myself to use food tracking apps. people that are, who basically lack dedication or lack the, or maybe are highly impulsive, i.e. someone in like 8 to 17 year olds, they're not going to do this.
This is not going to be... It's like emotion, it's like peer pressure, it's all those different psychological things.
They are selling this app, so it's like they're, I guess, the app is free, but then the coaching, that's another thing.
It's like $70 a month.
$70 a month for coaching from people, and they even say this in the article that we read, we're looking at CNBC, and they might say it on there, but are not, you know, nutritionists or dietitians. They are just people that work for Weight Watchers, and you know, there can be good health coaches that aren't dietitians or nutritionists, but I think when it comes to dealing with kids and you have to break it down and give them, you know, kind of, critical information or credible information, they should come from a credible source that's very knowledgeable in nutrition. You know, I think that's, you know, it's like if you're teaching them about nutrition, if I want to teach them about geography, I put them, you know, in front of a geography teacher, you know, or somebody that's knowledgeable about the curriculum. You know, anybody can read from a script, but it's just, I don't know if that's the best idea, especially when kids, you know, you got to basically kind of shape their minds. And you said it also, it's, when you're basically taking the place of the parent, the parent's job is to teach you, not necessarily teach you about nutrition, but set an example.
So,
you know,
here's my, like, major takeaway. It just popped into my head, but this is really why this is eating away at me. This app is not about empowering you to be healthy. This app is about controlling you. It's about controlling your diet, controlling your input, I mean, it's everything is about control, but it doesn't actually give you anything that you can then go out and be a better, stronger person for. Because it's absolutely in control while you're paying a subscription, while you're using the app. When you decide to go off this app, all that control is gone. All it is about control. And that's really, I mean, about the Weight Watchers program in general. It's about a control, you know, it's a control system. But really, it's not doing anything to truly empower people because you're teaching them to be reliant on this system and these, like, this, like, basic check and balance thing. It's not, like you said, educating. It's not giving you anything. It's not teaching a man to fish. It's just giving them the fish.
It's harder. I think Weight Watchers can work for adults.
I think, you know, and, of course.
But also, it can. The main thing, especially Weight Watchers now, is that there is more of a support system involved in it. It's not just apps or counting points anymore. It's having meetings.
Well, whether I mean, they it be started online, telecommunications. As that. Yeah, it started as a support system.
And that's the way it has to be if you're going at it on your own. If you need. You need people to, you know, basically hold you accountable and stuff. Mm-hmm. But with kids, that's harder because kids aren't going to...
They're not going to start a support group for people who feel heavy.
You know, they need the people that influence them the most to set a good example. That's how they learn, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's tough because not everybody is educated on proper nutrition. And there's so many things out there. There's so many different options about what is right and what is wrong. But I think, I mean, like I said, I see what they're trying to do. Portion control is a big part of it.
It's
I don't care.
One part.
Thank you. You're right. It is one part, but, you know, it's a critical part. But food selection is also another part. So, and if they don't have any information on that, it's like you can tell them if it's, you know, red, yellow, or green, but you don't tell them why it's red, yellow, or green. Maybe it does. I don't know. Like I said, maybe a text messaging service that says, hey, you know, an apple has this many calories and this type of nutrients, while a bag of candy has this and this many sugar, and what can cause sugar is, you know, could lead to diabetes or something like that. I don't know. It's just, like I said, more kind of just tidbits of information about nutrition opposed to just, you know, stop, go, or proceed with caution. I don't know if that's, you know, I feel like that might be more beneficial.
I think teaching kids to so closely track their dietary intake, like to the extent of like putting it into an app,
right,
having it rate your, you know, go, stop, whatever, I think that's super dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Because that sets up in a very, I mean, like kids, this is when they're growing, 8 to 16 or whatever, this is some of like their peak growth time.
Right.
And you're telling them to start tracking everything that goes into their bodies.
Yeah, it's very, I'm not advocating for it, but I mean, maybe looking at the fact that this is now, there's a need for something like this.
If
but
you
maybe
were going to do it,
adapt, you know, make it evolve.
If you were going to do something like this, there's only one thing that I feel like would actually be helpful and that I wouldn't have an issue, as much of an issue with. It's the fact that we don't actually teach kids how to listen to their bodies and actually identify how food makes them feel. As an adult, we are sometimes more in tune with this, but the healthier you are, the more in tune you are able to be. And you realize, like, if I eat that extra piece of bread today, I'm going to be bloated as heck, and I am going to feel like crap for 2 hours because maybe I have like a wheat sensitivity or mm-hmm. something. If there was a system that actually taught kids, like, okay, plug in what you had, you know, basic, you don't have to put in like loads of portions, just basic what you had, and then say, how do you feel like a half an hour later? If they feel tired, if they feel grumpy, if they actually list out, like, the things you ate before do actually have the potential for causing these reactions in your body, which may make you feel a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
If there was an app or something that would actually connect or remind or teach kids to feel what's going on in their body versus...
associated with what they ate.
Exactly. And understand that that's what food is. Food is fuel. If you put crap in your system's going to feel like crap.
Right.
But if you eat really good foods that your body reacts well to, your body's going to run better.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the better thing to teach?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be a better app?
All right.
Maybe I just gave somebody a big,
that's what I say.
Big deal out there.
So as far as this app's concerned, in the good idea, bad idea, I think we're both on the page of bad idea.
So missed the mark.
But in regards to an app for children to give them more insight into what the food, what their food does to their health and how it can affect it positively, negatively,
or negatively. That's something I would be interested in. Yeah. If somebody is actually developing that, please let us know. Because that would actually be something I'd be interested in checking out.
Because it's, I mean, people are, like you talk about, we talked about it many times this year, digital wellness. It's got to be an aspect of digital wellness because we're becoming more digital. You know, we're basically connected more to our digital device and to our devices now. So in every aspect of our, you know, life, this has to be a part of it, especially for kids too, because these kind of statistics for obesity, really, and I mean, the things that are associated with obesity is we got to try to stem that negative trend.
Yeah.
And then this is one avenue that they can definitely, it needs to be pursued.
Yeah. So not a fan of Weight Watchers right now. Really disappointed that they went this route. I don't care how noble. I don't care what the need for that. Like, this was just taking advantage. And I think that, yes, there is an audience for this. It's probably, you know, there's people that commented on the app that actually were saying, like, oh, yeah, it curbed my daughter's gains in terms of weight. And, like, she's looking much better. And it's like, well, how's she feeling? Is she feeling any better that you're the one that's judging her weight every day? Like, there's already kind of some things on here, I think, tell you what kind of parents might, or people, not even parents, people that see dieting as kind of that solution. I don't know. But there's definitely people that are proponents for it. I don't think I'm going to see eyes to eye with them right now, though.
Well.
But everybody's entitled to their opinion. If you think that this is great, then I will not attack you.
Yeah.
I will not tell you that you're wrong. I just will not agree with you, likely.
But
so,
we do want to hear from you.
But we would love to hear. If someone does have a situation, I mean, you said it in the beginning. This probably does have some people that it could help. Like, you know, people who are having problems with portion specifically. This could be a solution for that.
Mm-hmm.
So, by all means, like, this would be a great thing to hear about those specific cases that it would be helpful.
Right.
And if you found something that's even better, that we would love to hear.
Ooh, there you go.
Yeah, and if you're developing an app, dear goodness, that we were talking about earlier, let us know.
On the podcast, talk.
I know, we will interview you. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we got a lot of, speaking of interviews, we got some couple of good interview episodes coming up. Shannon's actually going to be doing her first interview coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So then, you guys, don't forget, we're going to give away the ATF Podcast Challenge Recovery Pack in a few weeks. So get your squats in and make sure you hashtag it ATF Podcast Challenge so you can be entered to win.
Yes, and it's got to be at the end of the month, though, because we're looking for people who actually tried to do this challenge or did complete the challenge. We're looking to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
How'd it go?
Yes. All right. You got anything else for them this week?
No, I feel like I've been a bit of a negative Nancy, so I'm just going to end this on a positive note and say, if you're in a place right now where you feel like an app like this, or if that's something that's going to help you and that's what's going to give you power, then by all means, tell people like me who are voicing their displeasure, tell them to take a hike and do what you need to do. So at the end of the day, you've got to follow what's going to be right for you. So that's my positive note. And now I'm good.
Well said. This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We'll check you next time.
Have a good one.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter, @TheATFPodcast, and like and follow the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes store. Thanks. Typically, that wasn't even a word.
A little.
Normally, how do you expect me to do anything after that?